We are up to Nehemiah Perikei Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches. Ve'asher hoya nase liyoy mechad. Nehemiah is continuing to describe that he did not tax the population. He was not, although he was a pecha, he was a governor, and he was entitled to heavily tax them, 40 shkolim per person, per week, per day, whatever it was, within the yesterday, plus bread and yayin. Bread and yayin, Rosh and Pesach. Pesach, the two mitzvahs are the matzah, the lechem, and the yayin, the dalakosos. He did not tax them for these needs. And now, and then in addition to that, he supported 150 men sat constantly at his table, in addition to the other people that came, Pasuk Yud Zayin concludes, that came from him from elsewhere, which we discussed yesterday, can be one of two things. Either he was a host to his home, was the embassy for the government, and there were 150 people, government employees, living in his home, besides all of the diplomats, dignitaries that would visit from foreign lands. That's one interpretation, but it's not the way Rashi and the Mitzudos learn. They learned that the 150 people and the people that came were poor people, were just people that were destitute, and he supplied them with food and lodging, and the people that came from the other nations are not dignitaries, diplomats, and ambassadors. They were gerim, people who converted to Yadus, that had nothing, nowhere to live. And v'ahavtemes hager ki gerim hayisem eretz Mitzrayim. Gerus is a very, very big thing in Klal Yisrael, and therefore he took it upon himself to support the gerim at this moment in time. Very interesting. Everything over here in the Sefer Nehemiah is ma'aseh avos simul habayim. This is a blueprint for us for galus, for 2,000 years of galus, and every little letter, every little idea. There's something very big, and it's telling us here that he took it upon himself as his role to take care of the gerim. It's a very big thing, a very interesting thing, how we relate Bizman Hazeh to gerim. It's a very complicated, very obvious narrative. It's a very complicated, a lot of machlekes unfortunately, many people, they convert. There's always a question, what's their motive? Are they converting because they want to marry a Jew? And there are very many questions and many different poskim who deal with gerus in a very different way. And here, it's very interesting. He, not Ezra, but Nehemiah, who we discussed, was the political leader. According to Rashi and the Mitzudas, the political leader took it upon himself to support all of the gerim to Klal Yisrael. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. Now he goes on to say how much he ate. What was the meals, v'asher, and this that was, hoya nase liyoyim echa, the following was prepared. The word nase in this context means was prepared for a single day. Shor echad, one axe. Now one axe, I don't know today, one axe, how much meat?
Hundreds.
What?
It could be hundreds.
Hundreds of people, one axe? Really, hundreds? Okay.
You don't need the backboard. 1,000-pound ox?
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. That's how much they weigh, 1,000 pounds? You see on the videos.
Half a ton.
Okay, so shor echad, one ox. So that is seemingly this. There are many interpretations, many different ways to interpret this pasuk. Seemingly this pasuk referring to what was in for one day. It says liyoy mechad, for one day. Shor echad, one ox. Tzon, sheep, sheish, beruros. Beruros means choice.
Healthy.
Borer. Okay, you want to put a little bit of a twist on that. Talmud Chazal, you're asking a very interesting thing. Talmud Chazal, we don't find them focused, not that I know of, on their health, food. This idea of eating well and being careful what you eat is a more modern phenomenon. Okay, doctors would say, what are you eating, ox, its own, what are you doing over here? You should be eating the fruits and vegetables and water. What kind of thing? Wine? You're going to drink wine every day? Where is your orange juice?
A heavy set person was a healthy person, a skinny one.
Exactly. It was a different world.
Yeah.
They were healthier people. They didn't need either you'll tell me that they just didn't know from these things. That's a possibility. Or they were healthier people, Niskatnu Hadoros, and their bodies were able to eliminate the waste and toxins and things that we consider today to be poison. If you go to the doctor and he tells you, don't eat red, don't eat meat, enough of the meat, stop the meat, no cholesterol, forget about the wine, what are you drinking wine? In ancient times, people were healthier. Niskatnu Hadarosh, we have a doctor over here, he said, probably, is there such a thing over here? If they survived.
Yeah.
Organic, grass-fed.
Look, I know what you mean by more modern, but the Gemara is loaded with all kinds of health advice that we don't understand anything.
Exactly. But that, a lot of things in the Gemara are after the fact. A lot of things in the Gemara are after a person is not feeling well, you shall do this. There's no preventive dieting in the Gemara, not that I know of, that you should eat, you know, the Gemara says you should eat breakfast. Today, I don't know if they'll tell you it's healthy today to have bread for breakfast every day. Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? I don't know. Alright, but here is the thing over here, they have a very lavish diet. One ox, one day, that's a long, enormous amount of meat. Sheep, sheish, six, biru. So you said healthy. That's how we got on this topic, healthy.
The tzon were healthy.
The tzon were healthy, should not famished. Fat. Biru is choice. Biru simply means choice. Sheep. Rashi says something a little different. They were prepared. Rashi biruos in this context, Rashi says, pisroin lefin yonai sheish tzon asuyos. Okay, it seems like he's translating the word beruos, mean they were prepared. I'm not where the word prepared comes from. The word beruos, beruos means borur. It means if you look in the mitzvot sion, meloshin berera ubechira, choice, select. But Rashi, I don't know if Rashi is coming to focus on the word beruos. Maybe Rashi is focusing on the word nase. Nase means it was prepared, from whatever it means. Vitzi parim nasuli. Yeah.
Maybe it just means like well-made or something.
Okay. Either they were prepared well, or the animals themselves were very fat. That some weren't lean. They were fat sheep. Vitzi parim naasuli, and then it says here that birds, fowl was prepared for me. Next words, we'll review some of these ideas in a moment. Uvein is a long pasuk. Uvein aseres yomim b'chol yayin leharbe, and every 10 days, uvein is a very difficult word to translate, and that opens up this pasuk to a whole host of common interpretations. But uvein aseres yomim b'chol yayin leharbe, which simply can mean, according to one interpretation, as Rashi says, that there was so much wine every single day they drank equivalent what a regular person would drink in 10 days. That's how much wine they drank. So in uvein, equivalent means, uvein means, according to Rashi, means equivalent. That's how we'll translate it according to Rashi. Aseres yamim, equivalent to 10 days worth of wine, b'chol yayin, of every type, not just the ordinary wine, exotic wines, leharbe, in abundance. That was also, this expression goes back to the beginning of the pasuk where it says, liyoyim echad, according to Rashi. Rashi is taking the word liyoyim echad, and he's coming to expand the scope of liyoyim echad to the entire pasuk. In one day, there was one ox, there was six sheep, there was an enormous amount of tzot, of tziporim, fowl, which we don't have an exact number, and there was an amount of wine equivalent to 10 days, the imzeh, and with all of this, obviously, this cost a fortune. I mean, this must have cost thousands of dollars a day to keep this up. This amount of more, whatever it cost. What?
No, it sounds more like 10 days supply.
Okay, we're going to see the mitzudas, but we'll see Rashi. Rashi very clearly says this, the amount of bane means equivalent. Yeah. This is, we take the entire expression and connects it to the word liyoyim echad. One day they drank equivalent to 10 days, and you would think, so where did Nehemiah get money to live such a lavish lifestyle, to support these 150 people on the Gerim, and to host all of these diplomats and so on and so forth? You would expect him, as he is entitled to tax the population. Everyone must pay 40 shkolim per day, or per year, per month, whatever it was, or per week, and you must provide me with a lechem liyayin. I know, Nehemiah says, Hashem, I'm a good guy. I'm a good man. Despite this enormous expense, lechem hapecho lo yivikashti. I did not demand the bread The bread here in this context means the entitlement of the governor. The governor is entitled to collect funds from the tzibur for this purpose. I did not demand these funds. Because at this point in time in history, the people were already overburdened with work. The work of building the wall of Yerushalayim, which they had to free themselves. And we learned yesterday from their daily, their parnasa, they had a job, they had to work, they plowed the fields, they had to give up, just abandon their fields for this time period. And there was a famine. They didn't even have, even if they were not involved in building the wall of the Yerushalayim, they still had a hard time making ends meet. And this is what, therefore, Nehemiah says, I was a good person, I did not overburden them. And let's just read the next post, and we'll come back. So we learned yesterday, either he was independently wealthy.
He wasn't on the take. So how did he support this?
So we learned yesterday, one, the Mepharshim said one of two things. Either he was independently wealthy, or he had chassidim. He had supporters, he had fans. He had a fan club. A real fan is someone who puts their pocket where their mouth is. Someone, you know, there are people that have fans. Oh, I'm a fan. Facebook, so you click like, you're a fan. Big deal, so you click like. Big deal, you're a fan. If you're really a fan, you'll send in a donation without being solicited. That's a real fan. So here we have a new icon on Facebook, right? I'm not really booking Facebook, don't get me wrong. I haven't been on Facebook. I don't know. I never had an account. I never had a real account. I work for someone, so we do part of the work. We have to have for the business. This business, we have to have a Facebook page for this business. But personally, chas v'shalom. after I see what it's all about. But a real fan is someone that. That is willing to support the one who you worship, who you idolize. And obviously Nehemiah had supporters. In order for him to maintain this lifestyle of this lavish wine and bread and shor and tzoin and siparim, he had to have quite a supply of funds. In Pasuk Yud Tes, let's just read one more Pasuk, we'll go back and explain. Zochrali Elokai L'Toiva. Okay, this is a very important Pasuk, one of the more important Pesukim in the Sefer. Nehemiah now says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I've enumerated in this Perek all of the good deeds. I built the wall. I gave up my good position in Bavel, serving in Paras, serving under the king Daryavesh as the Sar HaMashkim. I gave up a good life. I came here to Eretz Yisrael, to an impoverished land. I took leadership position. I built the wall. I did not overburden the people with taxes. What else did he say he did? With a whole long list of his good deeds. I supported these 150 people. I supported the Gerim. We had one other significant thing. Exploitation, that was probably the most important thing. I told the people to relinquish their right to collect and to return all of the property that they foreclosed upon. I did so many good things for Klal Yisrael. I'm a good person. Therefore, he now concludes his autobiography, pretty much, right? This is the epilogue, the autobiography. Zochra li Elokai l'toiva. Here's my autobiography, one parak, one chapter. Remember me for good. Kol asher asisi al ha'amazeh, all that I have done, al ha'amazeh, simply means, I'll give you another interpretation in a moment. Kol asher asisi, all that I have done, al for ha'am hazeh. That we'll see in a moment, that's not the only interpretation. All that I have done for this nation, please Hashem, remember me for good. Have rachamim upon me. I should have a good life, my family, so on and so forth. I should be zechut to bracha for the good things that I have done. Okay, now let's go one step at a time. Let's go back to Rashi in Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches, Asher Nasa v'Asher Hoynas. The following is what was done in my home, in my palace every single day. Uvichol Rashi, uvichol yom v'yom, hoyu echlim al shulchanai, shor echad, one axe, v'sheish tzon, six sheep, v'tziporim, harbei, and many birds. Okay, lafal. So all different types of food. All different. You go to the pomegranate, clean out the whole place. Berudos. Berudos means pisroina lefin yone sheish tonasuyos. So I'm not sure if Rashi is taking the word berudos and translating it. I told you it means prepared, or is really going back to the word vasha naaseh. As the Mitsudo says, the word naaseh means prepared in this context. And it was six sheep prepared, ki'inyan shnemar, chomesh tzon asuyos. We have in Shmuel, there we have a similar expression, five sheep asuyos. Here it says biruros. Seemingly Rashi is saying the word biruros is equivalent to asuyos. I am not sure of how those two words can be possibly be related one to another, but this is what Rashi says. Nasuli, Loshon Tikun, it was prepared. Nasu means it was Kimkumo Ben Abokra Asher Osso. We have by Avraham Avinu Asher Osso. Avraham Avinu, he didn't make it, he didn't say a shame and create a goylam, create a ben bakar. It means he went to the field, he went to the barn, he took a bakar and he slaughtered it. He prepared three tongues for the Malachim. Okay, Ubeina, here we come to this very interesting Rashi. Every single day they drank a lot of wine. So bay means equivalent to 10 days was consumed on a single day. We take this expression, we connect it to the beginning of the pasuk where it says liyoyim echad. V'yimze, next words, uveshvil kol ma'isa zeh she'isi moitzi hoitzos kol kach. And despite of the fact that I had such a lavish lifestyle for the people, but lechem, the bread here is not to be translated literally according to Rashi. It means shalmas, the tax to support the king, to provide his sustenance, la pecha, for the governor, loy bikashti, I did not demand from the people, velo sha'alti min ha'am sharei kovda, because the people were already overburdened with labor, with constructing the wall of Yerushalayim, sharei kovda v'chozka avoidas binyan ha'choyma aleihem. Okay, so that concludes the parak according to Rashi. Let's see the mitzvot. Pasek yud ches lechem liyom echad lemach liyom echad brudos. So he learns not like Rashi. Does not mean asuyos, prepared. It means niv choros, chosen. They didn't just go buy any ordinary sheep. They went out to the market. They bought the best of the best for Nehemiah and his people. Vitoivos did see pardim in the first times of birds. Ubein aser siyamim rotz leimar yom echad mibein kol aser. So here he says something very different than Rashi. That I only drank wine once in 10 days. Not like Rashi, that every single day we drank wine equivalent to 10 days. We only drank wine once in 10 days. Every other person, every other free man in society was drinking a little wine for dinner every evening. You have to have a little wine to keep you going. But he, because they were very busy in working, and wine intoxicates, wine dulls your senses, and it was very dangerous, and there was a lot to be done. Although we ate well, we ate shor and tzon and fowl. It could very well mean that they ate health, they ate good food to be healthy, to be strong, to build a wall, but we were careful not to drink wine. We only drank wine once in 10 days. We were pyresh. Whole different interpretation. What? Good point. So first of all, did the takan to make Kiddush exist at this point in time? A lot of these in Yonim of making Kiddush al Yayin possibly first came into existence later. Later, now is really when, at this point in time with Ezra, is really when our minhagim, our Shulchan Aruch, the way we know it, is beginning to form. That's a very big topic. How did Jews live during the time of the Bayis Rishon? Let's forget about Bayis Sheni. That's also a big question. Anshek Nesdos, the Bayis Sheni is already in the middle of the Bayis Sheni. It's the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The beginning towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni is the Anshek Nesa Gedola. So when exactly, how do they live? How did the Nevi'im live? Did they make Kiddush? What was the Brichas HaMazon like? What kind of brachas did they say? It's not clear. I don't think it's really known. We don't really know. We have this tradition that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol Tarakul, even Erev Tavshilin. We don't know what these things are. All we know is that our Shulchan Aruch really took form more or less after the Bayis Sheni. By the time of the Mishnah, but the time of the Mishnah is really a record of what occurred during the middle. It was during the Tkuv of the Bayis Sheni where much of the structure of Shulchan Aruch took form. Okay, so you ask your question, what do you mean? Does that mean they did not drink and make Kiddush Friday night? Very possibly they never made Kiddush Friday night. Oh, but making Kiddush is the right. So yes, saying a prayer, saying Good Shabbos is a prayer. To drink Yayin, that's a Takana de Rabbanan. That Takana could very well be came at a much later point in time, much after this. Maybe, let's say they did make Kiddush. Maybe it was a Hirasha, they just didn't have wine. Right? They didn't have wine. They were poor. That's what he says. They only drank wine once in 10 days. So maybe being that they needed to be on guard to protect themselves from their enemies and build a Beis HaMikdash, it was Hirasha. You should be daf, could not drink wine. You should not become intoxicated. Yeah, now I'll drink wine. So make Kiddush, the Chamar Medina. So that's a point, but obviously according to the Mitzvot, they only drank wine once in 10 days. Back to what it says in the Mitzvot.
Nowadays you don't see people kiddush on bread anymore. But I remember as a kid,
you'd make kiddush on bread. Okay, very good. Okay, all right. Ratzalaymar Yoimecha Mibein called. There's a famous story with the person who comes to. I forgot one of the Gedolei Hadar. This is like one of these Gedolim stories, which I don't know who. And he asked him if he's allowed to make to a dalad kosos on milk. On milk. So is that called Chamar Medina? So he told him, I don't know what he told him, I don't know if he told him yes or no, but he gave him a donation. He gave him water. If he doesn't have, if he's asking a child to make money, to make kiddush on milk, he obviously doesn't have money to buy meat.
In the 20s and 30s, you couldn't.
To buy fowl. Yeah. So he gave, that's a whole story. You got to listen to the tapes.
I think that story,
there was plenty.
Exceptions for
clergy.
Clergy,
and they became very wealthy. Very wealthy. Rabbonim. And there's a lot of scandals. A lot of the goyim also.
Holy Communion, you need wine.
There was a lot of scandals. Yeah, it was just a technique where a lot of people got very, very rich through prohibition.
The big shoes, the shamasim had their business.
Yeah, and but the goyim also, some of the big famous.
Gangsters, where did they gain their initial wealth?
Where did they have the money to invest in real estate?
That's right.
They made their first killing in the prohibition. So, you got to study American history. American history and Jewish history, and you learn that the prohibition is just lashon saginar. It's a gimmick to get rich. All right. So here we have Beinat Seres Yom B'chol. So back to the words of the Mitzudos. So he only ate us B'chol Yom Beinat Seres Yom B'chayisi Mashka Oysam B'chol Mina Yain L'Har B'mod. I gave them a lot of wine every once in ten, a lot of wine, but only once in 10 days. V'im Zeh Av Shohaya Tzorchai Merube. My needs were great. Im Kol Zeh Loi Bikashti Min Om Lechem Apecho. I did not demand the bread of the governor. Why? Because they were very taxed. So here the Mitzudos adds something, not like Rashi, that why was it difficult? Because they already were taxed by the Persian government. Forget about me. The Pecha was another tax. But you had to pay tax to the king, to the Paras, to Daryovish. Exactly. There was federal tax. There's federal tax, and then there is state tax and city tax. And then you have to pay taxes to the mafia on the block. There's a lot of people you got to pay tax to. So, as besides the shul dues, Kichavda Avoidas Mas Hamelech Ubinyan Achayim Ohoisa Kavda Aleim was very heavy upon them. They were not able to engage in commerce and their business and whatever they were doing and working their fields because they were very busy building the wall. Ulehishtaker and to profit. They see pukam what was sufficient for their needs. And also to give me lechem apecha. Therefore, I was very good. I went easy. Now he says, Hashem ribono shel olam, zochra li elokai l'toiva. I've concluded my autobiography. Now I want ribono shel olam, look at it, read it. Pay close attention, read all the footnotes, you'll see I'm a good person, and therefore, Zohar I want it to be for my very lach shavu l'toivu l'schus, it should be for me, l'toivu l'schus, alam azeh, ba'avur, toivas, alam azeh, for the sake of the good of this. So the Mitzudos is saying something a little bit you have to be careful how you translate the word mitzvus, but I'll come to it in a moment. Let's put that last mitzvus to the side for now. Now, we learned the pasuk here according to Rashi, and let's talk about the wine. According to Rashi and according to the mitzvus. Rashi says he drank every single day enough wine for 10 days. Mitzvus, he only drank wine once in 10 days. There's another pshat from the Malbim. The Malbim takes the pasuk very literally that he only drank wine, that udein means in between every 10 days we drank a lot of wine. But every 10th day we did not drink at all. In other words, every 10th day was a tinus. We drank wine.
That's the
Malbim. That every 10 days, Meiser. Just like you give Meiser money, Aser to Aser, you give Meiser 10% of your income must be given as tzedakah. So too, there's also halacha, all the Gedolim talk about you have to give of your time. 10% of your time you have to donate for tzorchei tzibur, to learn with people that are less fortunate, who have not financial deficiencies, but who need spiritual needs, other needs. You're supposed to be maaser from your zman, from your time. There's also a concept of from your life, from your health, from your sustenance, that I eat every single day, but every 10 days I fast. It's a very interesting idea, because when we think about fasting, we think about Bahab, we think about Sheshavim, we have four fast days which are from the Nevi'im, Shevavim, and so we think about fasting every Monday and Thursday, we have all these different stories. But according to the Malbim, the Makar, these are all much later Minhagim. Shevavim is a very recent phenomenon. The four fast days, that comes from the Nevi'im, from the Churban Bayis Rishon, but all these other things to fast are tainis on a yard site and an esara. But here you find this idea. It's a very interesting idea. Is every 10 days you fast, not Monday Thursday. This is before the time of laning. We now associate Monday and Thursday with days of rachamim. Okay, very good. That's true. Then that has to then mean it was always Yimei Rachamim from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. But today we associate with laning. Monday Thursday we say laning. We have a longer tachnun. Here you find the precedent for fasting occasionally every 10 days. That can mean it comes out on Shabbos, it comes out on a Tuesday, on a Friday. Every 10 days you calculate, you can fast on Shabbos, technically speaking. It's not the end of the world if you fast on Shabbos. The halacha is Shulchan Aruch, but Zman Hazeh, we don't generally do it. But
except on Yom Kippur Shabbos. Malbim really reaches for the whole thing or just for the wine?
Just the wine.
Yeah.
So just for the wine.
So it's abstinence for
okay, so that I didn't see the albums. I saw only secondhand source, but it could very. We have to understand that maybe that's just a trigger that if they didn't drink wine, it means they didn't do anything. They didn't eat either, or maybe no, they just would perish from a few things.
But it says laharbe.
Right, in between those 10 days we drank a lot of wine. In between, meaning that, but on that 10th day we drank nothing. For 9 days, zero. For 9 days, a lot. For 9 days we overindulged. Every 9 days. But on the 10th day, zero. We only had the harbe, the abundance of yayin, in between every 10 days.
Where would the Malbim get zero from? I can understand less, but where zero?
Because of the word bane. It says Zubain, in between the Aseres Yomim, there was Bechol Yain, every type of wine, Laharbe, which means, what about the 10th day? Nothing. Okay, you want to say that it doesn't mean nothing, it means they had a little bit, just the basic necessities, possibly. You have to see what the Malbim says, but the Malbim, I don't know if the Malbim is necessarily coming to say one interpretation. He's giving you the general idea that there was a degree of precious every 10 days. There's such a thing called tainus by tzaddikim, where you don't eat everything on your plate. Ever hear of this? You eat, you leave over. Why do you leave over? You have to show self-control. You have a delicious steak and you eat, You don't eat the whole steak. You leave over a little piece to show. No, so that's a very big kiddush. It's not called Baal Tash. First, if you have a child, or if you have someone in the family, or you say for later leftovers, so that's certainly not Baal Tash. So you put it away for later. But at the that won't be. But even if you're not going to put it away for later, it's going to go into. It's that itself is it's not Baal Tash. It's the ultimate purpose. It's discipline that I'm hungry. I'm hungry and it's delicious and I want to eat it. I'm not going to control myself. What greater purpose is there in this world for that piece of food than to perfect my character? To learn how to control my taiva, that even though I'm hungry, I'm going to chop, I'm going to eat. Discipline. I ate 95%. There's a little piece. I'm hungry. I really do want to eat it. But self-control, restraint. I'm not going to eat, not because of health reasons. Because discipline, self-restraint. So here as well, they drank wine. They just did not drink harbe ma'od, b'chol yayin. They put the good stuff away. They just took out, the simple stuff. They drank in a small amount. Okay, but obviously it was about tashka, so you're right. So you put away the small 5% that you're not going to eat. You put away for later.
So it's not about
tashka.
So you can eat that piece of steak later.
But not now. Discipline now, you want it now. Later it's not going to taste as good. Later it's going to be leftovers. Leftovers both psychologically and physically, it's not the same. It's not about tashkas because I'm going to eat it. But it won't be delicious. It won't be steaming hot and fresh. Fine. This is a very interesting approach. A makor for Parishus in Tanakh from the Malbim. Okay, another interpretation, another interesting idea. Could be the Malbim says this. I don't remember. A lot of Mefarshim. Nechemiah says it was every single day there was Shorechot, Tzon Sheish Biros, Vitziparim Naasuli. Why does it say Naasuli? Is Naasuli going back on the entire pasuk? So that wouldn't make sense because Nechemiah certainly did not need to eat a whole shar, and didn't need to eat six tzon, and didn't need to eat tzon. So you want to translate loosely. Nasuli doesn't mean only me, it means my bias.
My household.
That's the simple translation for my household. But we don't even need the word. If the pasuk would have omitted the words nasuli, you wouldn't have blinked. It would say, for the household.
If you left out the word li, you wouldn't blink also.
Exactly. So what do we need? What do we need these two words? What are they doing here? So you want to then say it means, so some want to suggest that Nehemiah says that even though everyone in my household had shor and tzon beruros, they ate the best food, but personally, I ate a chicken. Now, you know, sometimes in our history, chicken was considered to be a delicacy. But over here, he's saying that relative to the delicacy of delicious meat and tzon beruros, tzon was like, eating a microwave packaged airplane dinner. It's TV dinner. So this is tzonly for me. I had the TV dinners. My people! They wouldn't survive on a TV dinner. They had to have the best. They had to have a chef and shor with tzon beruros. Yeah.
Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi.
Yeah. On his table, there was nothing lacking, but he ate, there was not nene, he picked up his fingers, I was not nene from this world, afilu ke'etz baketan. So what all the lavish food, that's not for me, that's for the guests, that's for my household, the office, the cover of the office of the Nasi, but it's not for personal gain. That's exactly what Nechemiah is saying according to some of the Mefarshim. He's saying that I was the governor, I was the leader, I was certain to be the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, and therefore for the cover, for the honor of the Jewish people, I had to present myself as a leader with a lavish lifestyle, the beautiful palace, and it was food being served. It was the White House. But personally, you want to know what I had for dinner every night? Microwave TV dinner. That's what I ate.
He's saying, I ate meat, but the bird, the fowl was for me.
Right. So, but what's the significance? He was allergic to meat. He had high cholesterol. He didn't want to eat. No, it means I was a poiresh.
Self-restraint.
I don't want to let it get to my head. All the gedulas of what I see, I'm not the Messiah. You don't want to let the power of office get to his head. He had that's a very interesting interpretation that explains why it says here, not Rashi and the Mitzvot don't say this. This is brought down. What?
Rashi says a lot of birds.
Right, right. For everyone, for me,
this doesn't fit into Rashi.
No, of course not. Rashi is the most lavish of them all. Rashi says every single day it was a big party. Shar, shish, tzaburos, bird, and yayin. Aha, like 10 days worth of yayin every single day. There's no limit. And Nehemiah doesn't explicitly say that he excluded himself from partaking of this lavish banquet every day. Doesn't say that. Maybe he did. We don't know. But some of the Mefarshim do want to read into the pasuk that Nehemiah himself was a poiresh. This was for the covet of the Klal Yisrael, for the government. But he, for me, I was satisfied. Siparim nasuli. It's a very powerful Musar Haskil in, like we say, everything here is mamish ma'is avol similar bottom. How to conduct yourself in galus. What do you mean? Why would you say that?
He's saying how great I was.
No.
He says, I did this.
Zohar Li, yeah.
Why does he have to list?
That's a very big.
That's the criticism.
But one thing we have to: we can't judge Nehemiah like we judge ourselves. Nehemiah is part of the. This is Kodesh Kodashim, the Sefer Nehemiah. Nehemiah wrote Sefer Ezra as well. Most of Sefer Ezra, significant part was written by Nehemiah. Was holy of holies. There's no one that we can even fathom comes to anywhere near his greatness. He's writing all of this for a purpose. Right. Seemingly, he's writing this. The pasuk concludes, "This shall be a zuchus. Everything that I have done is a very great merit." Zochra li Elokai l'toiva. He's recording li. Remember me. Also, we're going to come down in one moment. We're going to come to that in one moment. But first, let's get this pasuk. So here we have a whole host, a whole collection of interpretations of what's going on in this pasuk of the Slavish feast. Did he partake? Not partake. Okay, one other. Okay, let me just see something else I wanted to mention. Okay, that's all I remember for now. Now let's now go to the next pasuk. Zochor li Elokai l'toiva. Now let me read you the Gemara. Okay, we did this yesterday, but I only read you the second half of the Gemara. Let me read you the first half of the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, "Kol." I'm reading you word for word. "Kol mile." The Gemara is focusing on this pasuk. Zochor li. "Kol mile di Ezra." Everything that was written in Sefer Ezra. Which, by the way, this we discussed it yesterday. Ben Chakalia, Kol the Ezra Nehemiah ben Chakalia Amrinu was said, was written, was put into the Sefer by Nehemiah. Nehemiah ben Chakalia might have a low idkrei Sefer al Shemei. So if that's the case, why isn't it called after Nehemiah? How come there is no such thing in the Chof Dalet Sefer Tanakh as Sefer Nehemiah? Even though today in our we discussed this yesterday, but technically speaking, there is no such thing as Sefer Nehemiah. V'lomos Omar of Yirmia Bar Abba Mibnei. So this is the first half of the Gemara that I told you yesterday. Mibnei Shehichzik Toivah LeAtzmai, because he took credit for himself. He enumerated in Perek Vav all of these good deeds, built the wall, stopped exploitation, did not tax the people, and he supported all of these people, Shenemar. But then he went, Zochra li Elokai l'toiva, Hashem, remember me for good. And therefore, because of this sin, it was super magnifying a teeny, teeny microscopic imperfection, therefore he was punished, and it's not called after his name. The Gemara is the Kasha. What's so terrible? David HaMelech did exactly the same thing. David Nami Meima Omar Zochreini Hashem Birtzoin Amecha. Remember me, Birtzoin Amecha, for the goodwill, for the Ratzon that I've brought about upon your nation. Pogdeni Bishuatzecha. Remember me for salvation. So David did something very similar. He said, Zochreini Hashem, remember me, all of my good deeds, what I have done in order to bring goodwill to your nation. I've worked very hard in order to build up Klal Yisrael. I served as the Melech. I did good things for Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, David, it's all a matter of inflection. All a matter of Kavana. David, Rachamehu Dikaboy. David did not say this as a demand. when David made his statement, Zachreini Hashem l'toiva, Zachreini Hashem, it was a bakosh, a prayer. Hashem, I'm not deserving. But please, maybe you could find something good, maybe, and even though I'm not deserving, it's insufficient, it should be a zuchus. But over here, Nehemiah is not being mispalo, he's demanding. And demanding, how do we know demanding? Because here there's a difference between David and Nehemiah. David said, Zachreini Hashem, Yud Kei Vavke. Yud Kei Vavke is always the shame of Rachamim. Here in Pasuk Yitzhak, Zachreini Elokai, Lashon Elokim, Din, judgment. So Nehemiah is making a demand. Ribbono Shel Olam, you owe me. You owe me. I was good. Therefore, I want you to take care of me. David didn't say you owe me. He said, Zachreini Hashem, please, you don't owe me nothing, Hashem. Zero, zilch. But I worked very hard and I have a problem, I need help. Please, let what I've done be a zuchus if it's fitting in your eyes. A very different approach to focus on a person's past. And again, this is a teeny microscopic imperfection, which we're coming to magnify. And this is Chazal. Let me read it in the Gemara. And the Gemara is the way I just told you from Yirmiyah, long comes Rav Yosef Amar. No, the reason why Nehemiah lost that sefer, lost his name, was removed from the name of the sefer, was because because he spoke disparagingly about his predecessors, specifically Doniel. We learned this yesterday. Shenemar, that I'm good. Compare me to my predecessor. My predecessor, Daniel, he taxed the people. They laid a heavy hand upon the people. They took their high tax. So therefore, that's why, because he praised himself at the expense of others. Okay, now there's another very important point which the Mitzvah is elusive. Over here, when Nehemiah says, Zachreini Ali Elokai Letova, who is he praying for? So if you read the pasuk very superficially, you'll say he wants Zuchus, he wants for himself. He needs a retirement package. This is before there's a pensions, before Social Security. I need, you know, your person gets older. You need to be taken care of. He has children. They need shidduchim. He has grandchildren. They need parnasa. So he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a good man. I devoted my entire life to your service. It should count for something. Please take care of my children, my grandchildren. Everything should be, they should be healthy. They should have parnasa. They should have shidduchim. All the things that they will want in the 21st century, give them as well. Take care of them. That's the simple way you learn the pasuk. But it's not the way the Mitzvah appears to learn. It's not the way a lot of the Mefarshim learn. He was not saying, I'm not coming to ask for anything personal. I'm coming to ask for the zuchus of the tzibur. Klal Yisrael, that totally changed the whole greatness of Nehemiah. It's an incredible insight. Nehemiah is saying, I don't want anything for myself. The Klal Yisrael at this moment are in Eis Tzar. They built the Beis HaMikdash. We're surrounded by enemies, and they're all predicting. Nothing has changed. This goes to show nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We'll listen to the news that the state of Israel, how much long can it last already? How much long can they continue to exist? Within 10 years, 5 years, they're always saying this in the media. They're going to fold. They'll be swallowed up soon, Israel. That's exactly what he's saying. We're in an ace sorrow. Piderach HaTeva, there's no way this Beis HaMikdash, this little civilization, this little society, this little state is going to continue to exist in Eretz Yisrael with the permission of the Persian government. But Ribbono Shel Olam, my big schusim, I was Meisa Nefesh. Credit all of my zuchusim for Klal Yisrael, for them. For them, that they should survive. And you should take it, not for myself, nothing personal. I'm not asking you for anything more than my next door neighbor. I'm not asking for my children, my grandchildren, for parnasa. No. All of my good deeds shall be a credit for Klal Yisrael. That's a whole different story. Oh, a whole different story. So right away, so what's so terrible? He's making demands. Still and all, even to make a demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I don't want anything personal, I want that all of my good deeds to go to credit for Klal Yisrael. Don't make demands of Hashem. Hashem owes you nothing. You want to make a bakasha like David HaMelech? Go right ahead. But don't say Elokai. And that's really what the Mitzvah here says. He says, Ba'avur Toivas Ha'om Hazeh, for the good of the people, not for me. So when it says in the Pasuk, Al Ha'om Hazeh, it doesn't mean, like I told you originally, that remember me for good because of all of the good that I have done to the people. It doesn't mean what I have done. It means the Pasuk stops. Zachor li l'kayel, remember me for good. Kol asher asisi. Period. Put a period there. And to whom shall you credit? What's your bank number? What's your bank number? My bank number is Klal Yisrael. Don't put the money in my account. Put the money in the account of Al. The Zechus shall go Al Ha'om Hazeh. We do this. When do we do this? We don't always do this, but we just do this. Some communities, this is Les Peh Shabbos. What do we say in Birchas Rosh Chodesh? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a good month, and then what are the last words? Bezechus Tfilas Ha'os. So either it's Rabim or Rav. What does it mean? Rav. So Rav, the Gemara, was the one that said the member of the many Perushim. But one of the Perushim is Bezechus Tfilas Ha'rav, means the Rav. The Rav, the Rabbi of the Shul. The Rabbi of the Shul. If you go look around the shul, that's the way it's supposed to be, at least. Who has the biggest zechusim in the shul? The rabbi. That's the way it's supposed to be, ideally. Okay, I'm not talking about situations of corruption. I'm talking about where you have a real rav, a rav that's so he's oisik the whole day in chesed. What does a rav do the whole day? He does chesed, he does staka, does Torah. He has zechusim. None of us have those zechusim. We're busy doing other mishagasim. We don't have those zechusim. In the zechus of the Rav, bezechus tfilas haraf, that zechus should be credited towards the tzibur, and we should be zechut to a chodesh of sasim v'simcha, chayim v'shalom, yishu v'necham, and so on and so forth. So we really do this. This is a precedent. What it says here at the end of Perikei is a precedent for what it says bezechus tfilas haraf. I know there are many other perushim. Some don't say it altogether. And some say b'zchus tfilas harabim. And some say when it says b'zchus tfilas rav, it doesn't mean the rav, it means rav in the Gemara, who was the author of the nusach of the tfilah we say Rosh Chodesh. But there is one interpretation that does explain it to mean b'zchus of the tfilah of the Rav of the community who has zechusim, and we ask Hashem to credit his zechusim to the tzibur, similar exactly to what Nechemiah is doing, but we only do it like David, Zochreini Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, as a bakosha, as a tefillah, not chas v'shalom as a demand. You're never allowed to demand anything from Hashem. Hashem, you owe me. You owe me. I did something for you that no one else would have done, and no one else did, and therefore you have to come to my rescue and help me out. You're not allowed to do that. That's the very least that we learned from this medrash. The best you can do is Ribono Shalom, you know, I did something very good. Please let it serve as a zechus to help me, or to help whoever you want to apply it to. But don't make a demand. Don't ever say to Hashem, you owe me, you must. I'm holding you hostage. You must do this to me. That is the difference between Nechemiah and David. It's an error that Nechemiah made, which Chazal criticized, and that's something for us to learn. And indeed, we do find such a concept in the Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so that concludes Perek Hay.
Yeah, sounds like a good platform. Cut taxes, cut expenses, raise funds. Sounds like a good platform.